Thank you, Chris. Jeremy Camp, right? Talk about a guy that knows about the healing hand of God right there. Got married, lost his wife, went through a long struggle, and then found another wife, found another lady that fell in love with that God brought to his life. And guy can write some incredible songs, just worshipful songs that are just great. So excellent job. I think the prize today goes to Melanie for driving the longest and the distance, right? All the way from Alabaster. My goodness, that was a drive, wasn't it? Beautiful 65. What a way to come, isn't it? Yes. I think, I got a survey I'm doing, so I need you to help me out with my survey. You ready? This is very spiritual. Very spiritual survey. So are you ready? I need to know, and we'll have you by raising your hand, how many are sock, sock, shoe, shoe, and how many are sock, shoe, sock, shoe? How many put on both socks and then both shoes, or how many put on their socks? One sock, one shoe, one sock, one shoe. How many do sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Oh, quite a bit. How many do sock, shoe, sock, shoe? All right. You can go home saying you learned something today now. You probably never thought about it before, had you, until that survey come up, see? Yeah, you're going to remember that more than you remember the message probably now. What did Willis teach you? Well, about sock, sock, shoe, shoe. That's all I remember. You thought I was speaking in Chinese when I first started out, didn't you? Don't we live busy lives? The majority of people just live constant busyness in their lives. Something always going on, something always happening. Matter of fact, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most busy, 1 being sleep all day and sleep all night, how many are 5 and above? Quite a few of us. Because it's a busy world. There's always seems like there's always something going on because we live in a busy culture. I blame a lot of it to the cell phone. Now I can call my wife Cindy, I can check my emails, I can text my friends, I can see what about 577 people are doing on Facebook, most of them who I don't even know. I can Google search for directions and I can find the nearest restaurant all at the same time because of the cell phone. Back in the day, I sound like I'm old. Back in the day, I can remember not having cell phones. I mean, when I went to college, if I got stuck on the side of the road, I had to thumb it or something because I couldn't just call and say, hey, I need somebody to come and give me some gas to get ready, my tank filled back up. But it was great when the cell phone first came out, wasn't it? Because I can remember filling in at a church. It was about 45 minutes away. And the second I hit my car to go home, I jumped on the phone and I talked to my mom for 45 minutes. It was fantastic. I wish I could do that now. She's gone. Can call. But cell phones are great. But I think they add a lot of busyness to our lives that we didn't really have before. Because they always say it's supposed to simplify your life, but I think it just adds a whole lot of other things to it. But you know, the craziness of life can really have a huge impact on our relationship with Christ. That's where we have to be careful. Because we get so busy and so fast and so many things pile up that Jesus kind of gets pushed to the side. And it's very easy to do if you allow it to happen. So what we're going to look at today, and it'll be on the screen, you can just follow along. I do have a handout for you to fill in some information to keep with you. And you can, you know, wad your gum in that and whatever you want to do with that. But hang on to that handout because you could go back in a couple of days and reflect on that. I think there's two things that need to happen in every message. And maybe you need to watch out for this when you're listening to messages, watching them on TV, online, whatever it might be. I think there needs to be spiritual inspiration. I think the scriptures have to be a very important part of that. Don't leave out. If somebody just gets up and runs their mouth and doesn't give you a scripture, then we got to be aware of that, don't we? Or beware of that. But then along with spiritual inspiration, there needs to be just some physical application. There needs to be some way, how do I apply this? It's not just good to get up and give you a lot of spiritual inspiration and then send you out the door. You walk out going, okay, that was great, but how does that apply to me tomorrow morning? I mean, when I get up and this is going on or this isn't happening right or this is taking place, or on Wednesday when there's something happening in my life, a conflict or a problem, and I need a solution, how can I apply what I heard today? So I hope to give you both spiritual inspiration, physical application, or personal application, maybe I say it that way. So you follow along with me on the screen. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. It lasted 7 days, by the way. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. And I highlighted those two words because I want you to remember that. As usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, I want to help you out for just a minute there. Jerusalem to Nazareth, about 70 miles. Okay? His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem, remember, 70 miles, to search for him there. 3 days later. Can you imagine? Now, I've lost a lot of things in my life, okay? You ever lost your keys? Ever went like this and then hunted for your glasses for 2 or 3 days and thought, where are my glasses at? No. My wallet, I've lost my cell phone. We were just talking about that the other day. I put my cell phone on the back bumper of my truck. Was doing some work and stuck it back there. And I drove to the next job, and that booger was still on the back when I got there. So thank goodness for that. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. 3 days later, hey, did you get what happened? Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. They lost him. They misplaced him. Where did he go? If Mary and Joseph can lose Jesus, which they did for 3 days, in the craziness of their life, don't you think that can happen to you and me? So I want to unpack these verses for just the next few minutes, and let's talk about putting Jesus back at the center and not losing him. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 in the first couple verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42 that we talked about. It says this, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now let me tell you a little bit about the Passover festival so that you know. There were 3 festivals every year. Okay, the first one commemorated the angel passing over. Remember in Egypt when they painted the blood on the doorpost. This was to celebrate and commemorate that. It's the Passover festival. Okay, the next one is the Pentecost festival. And this one was the one that when the giving of the law, when Moses gave the law, was given the law, this is to commemorate the giving of the law. The Passover, the Pentecost, and the next one was the Feast of Tabernacles. The third one was to commemorate when they dwelt in tents and how God blessed them and watched over them. It is estimated, from what I've read, that over 2 million people came to these festivals. That's a lot of people, okay? That's a whole lot of people. So every year, Jesus' parents went to this in Jerusalem. They traveled the 70 miles from Nazareth and went to the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. What I want to get from that, and there's some blanks I want you to fill in from this, that this was a religious ritual that happened every year. Every year they knew exactly when they were to travel to Jerusalem. They were going to go for the feast, the Passover feast. They were going to go for the Pentecost feast. They were going to go for the Tabernacles feast. Because every year, that's what every Jewish family did. Now we know that about 2 million people would go to these festivals. But I want you to see that it became something that wasn't... Well, I like the last two words of the verse. It was as usual. It just got into a pattern. Or I want to say it was a religious ritual. Now the word religious is the first word I want you to write down. And it just means that you're constantly faithful. You're constantly faithful. I think I have that on... Do I have that on the screen? Yes. You're religious. You're constantly faithful. Is there anything wrong with being faithful? Not at all. You're faithful to eat a meal every day. You're faithful to clean yourself every day. You're faithful if it's go to a job every day. There's nothing wrong with being faithful. And that's what this was. This was a religious ritual. The second word is ritual, I want you to write down. And that simply means this: an action that is performed according to an arranged order. It's just something that you have lined out to do every single time that this project or this thing takes place. So you're faithful to do it, and there is a order, there's an arranged order of things for you to do. So a religious ritual is that I'm faithful just to do things in order like I'm supposed to. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then that religious ritual becomes our third R, which is a rut. And the definition I've always heard of for a long time of a rut is just a coffin with both ends knocked out. You're pretty much dead. You're just going back and forth, doing the same thing all the time. You're faithful to do it. You've got the order. It's an arranged order of how you're doing it. But there's no life or anything. It's just a coffin with both ends knocked out. It's a rut that you've built. Back and forth and back and forth. You do it without any thought. Sometimes you do it without any feeling or any emotion. Because I'm faithful to do it. I know the order of how I do it. I've arranged the order. I've got it all lined up. And now I just do it without even thinking. And when we all do that. Okay, we all do things, it's almost automatic that we do things without even thinking. And the things that seem to be so consistent and so faithful and so regular can be the very thing that makes us lose focus of what's important. As usual, Mary and Martha went to the festival every year. They knew when it happened, they had it all planned out. They had it lined up. It was as usual. Maybe it's driving the same way to the same place every time. You do that? If you're going to the drugstore, if you're going to the store, if you're going to the restaurant, you drive the same direction every time. You know, I go down this road, I turn right, turn left, go two traffic lights, I turn left, and you know how to get there. I try to make myself not go the same way every time, just so that it makes an exciting day. Maybe I'll get lost. Have to use my Google Maps. You ever got for where you're heading, forgot about where you're headed because you're going in another direction? This happened to me the other day. I got in my truck, and as I was getting ready to go, had just headed out of the driveway and down, Cindy called. "Can you run by Chappie's and bring me a salad back to the house for lunch?" And I thought, yeah, I can do that. I forgot to tell you this. When I left the house, I was going to GNC to pick up my vitamins. Okay? Well, I got in the truck, got on the road. Cindy calls, "Can you run to Chappie's and get me a salad?" "Sure. Bring it back to the house for lunch." I can do that. So I went to Chappie's, took her salad back to her at home. Got back in the truck. I went to the church where I was filling in. And someone came to the church. And so we sat and talked for a little while. And then I left. I had to make a visit. While I was there, I saw I needed to make a visit for somebody. So I went to their house, made a visit, went back to the church. While I was at the church, I called Enterprise because I was renting a car, and so I called them to check on my car. And then I remembered, I got to go get something at Walmart. So I went to Walmart, picked it up, and I went back home and took what I had to do from what I got from Walmart back to the house. And I got back to the house and sat down in my recliner to turn on, and I went, Willis, you didn't even go to GNC. What I was planning to do the whole time, I didn't even do it. I was in such a list, faithful, already got it planned out, and I didn't even do what I'd planned on doing. In the midst of my routine, I lost out what was so important. And here's what I want you to realize today. Jesus is the most important thing in your life. Don't try to put other things on top of Him, ahead of Him. Don't try to put Him down the list. He's the most important thing. And see, in the midst of doing what is right, and see, it wasn't wrong for them to go to the temple. It wasn't wrong for them to go to the Passover festival. It wasn't wrong for them to do the faithful things that they do every year consistently. And I say this to you today. It's not wrong to go to church. It's not wrong to do good things for other people. But sometimes it just becomes a ritual. Sometimes it just becomes a routine. It gets to be a religious ritual that turns into a rut. Remember Saul? He was on the road to Damascus. It was in Acts chapter 22. And the Lord got a hold of him. But Saul, before his conversion, he was born in Tarsus. His parents were Jewish. He also possessed Roman citizenship, which was incredibly coveted privilege, I believe. He described himself as a Hebrew, an Israelite, and a descendant of Abraham. And in Philippians, he calls himself a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. It's said that he killed Christians. You remember back before he was converted, he killed Christians just to show his devotion to the Hebrew Pharisees. The problem was he got into a religious ritual that turned into a rut that got into killing Christians, and he had separated himself from the most important thing, which was Jesus. And Jesus had to strike him, bring him back, let him see the light. I'd say it that way. Knocked him off his horse, right? Doing what is right has to include Jesus. Doing what we are faithful to do all the time has to include Jesus. Which brings me to our next R. Religious, ritual, rut. But better than that, all of that is a relationship. Simply a connection, an association, or an encounter. Paul had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. It completely changed his religious ritual, got him out of the rut, and brought him into a relationship with Jesus. We need to remember when we come to church every Sunday, why we're coming to church every Sunday. Not because it's something faithful and it's an arranged order that I do all the time, but it's because of a relationship that I can have with Jesus that connects me, that associates with me, and gives me an encounter with someone who can change my life. Not just to come, sit, sing, listen, pray, leave. But have a relationship with Jesus. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 say this, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me and each other as you did at first. It's become a religious ritual that turns into a rut. You do all of these things. You're really good at them. I just have one complaint, he says. You don't love me or other people anymore like you did at first. You've lost that relationship. You've separated that relationship that is the most important. So, how do we keep Jesus at the center? How do we get it back to not a religious ritual and a rut? How do we get it back to a relationship where there's a connection, there's an association, where each and every time I have an encounter with a God who loves me more than you can ever imagine and wants to change my life each and every day? How do I keep Jesus at the center? Number one, just make sure Jesus doesn't become a ritual. I said it just a few minutes ago. Don't just come, sit down, sing a few songs, stand up, sing a few songs, listen, write a few notes down, pray, and walk out the door. Remember to put Jesus at the center, to make Him the focus. Jesus, what? It's all about Him. And what can I do to bring that relationship closer? Again, back to our verses that we're reading out of Luke. Verse 43. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and His parents didn't miss Him at first. See, Mary and Joseph did their ritual, and then they headed home. It was something that they did every year. It was almost like they had a checklist. Anybody like list? You make a little checklist. Here's all the stuff I want to do today. Okay, you write all that down, and then isn't it just gratifying to make that check mark besides whatever it is that you've written down to do? And I can see Joseph and Mary. They're in Nazareth. They're getting ready. They're packing everything. They're getting ready to go on this big old trek all the way to Jerusalem. I can hear Joseph from the other room. Mary, did you pack my church sandals? You know I can't go without my church sandals. I've got to have them. I can't wear my regular sandals when I go to Passover. And they get everything lined up. The checklist is all checked off. And off they go. They go to the celebration. It was a great Passover festival. Well, let's head home. It's time to head home back to Nazareth. And His parents didn't miss Jesus at all. They had gone through their checklist. Everything was right. We've got everything packed. I packed back up. I've got all my trinkets from the Passover festival. We're ready to go. And off they went. You know, Jesus needs to be first. I would have thought the first thing, and maybe it's just me, but before I left Jerusalem, I would have said, all right, where's Jesus? Where's He at? I don't care. I can buy new sandals. I don't have to worry about all the free things I bought from the festival. Where's Jesus? Let's make sure we got Him. But they didn't. But we all have lists. We have grocery lists. Actually, I went yesterday and had a big old long list of things that Cindy gave me to get from the store. We have to-do list. Guys, honey-do lists, you know those? Those continue to add up of things to do. Email list. If you're on the computer and you have an email account, don't you just love the delete button? Oh, yeah. I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm on this email list, this group of pastors. Some of them guys can email some of the craziest, useless stuff I've ever seen in my whole life. There's this one guy, and I won't tell you his name. He's not even around here. He's way up somewhere up in north. That guy can email the longest emails. I'm thinking, dude, do you ever work? Because you sure can write some long emails. But I just delete, 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 delete. My email list, if it wasn't for that delete button, I would really be in trouble. But I think that's the way it happens a lot of times in this religious ritual rut that we get into. Jesus gets put on a list. Church gets put on the list. You know, sometimes even prayer gets put on the list. And so, did I pray today? Yes, I prayed. All right, done with that. Did I go to church on Sunday? Yes, went. All right, done with that. Did I think about Jesus this morning when I woke up? Yeah, I think I did when I got out of bed. All right, check Him off the list. And we start our day off with Jesus, but once we check him off the list, that's it. We don't ever think about him. We don't ever talk to him. We don't ever go to him with anything else because we've checked him off the list. Some of us will pray for hours, maybe for minutes or for seconds, but then after that, check it off the list. See, we do all the things we think we're supposed to do, and we go through all the motions, and we check off the list of things to do for the rest of the day, but then after we check it off, we never think about it again. Or maybe it's for the week. I've got my checklist for the week, and did I go to church on Sunday? Yes, I went to church on Sunday. Okay, we check that off. We're not going to worry about church anymore. I've done it, taken care of it. I'll have to go next Sunday, and I'll check it off next Sunday, but that's about the extent of it. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name we drove out all these demons, and in your name we performed many miracles. And then I'm going to tell them very plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I like the Message. I don't know how many of you read different translations. The Message is not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But sometimes it's just good to read a couple paraphrases and find out. The Message puts that same Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. They say it this way. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everybody talking. And you know what I'm going to do? And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Wow. We have our list. We check it off. And one day I think maybe there'll be those people. But God, look. Look at my list. I checked everything off. I did what I was supposed to. I was faithful. I had an arranged order of how I was going to do things. Look, it's all checked off. Yeah, but you forgot something, I think he's going to say. You never knew me. You never had a relationship with me. Yes, you were faithful. Yes, you had your list. Yes, you checked off all your list. But you never had an encounter with me. And he's going to have to say, I never knew you. Away from me. It might have been religious, but it was just a ritual that got you into a rut, that you checked off on your list of things to do and things not to do. But there should have been a relationship with me. Not just on Sunday, not just from 10:15 till 11, whenever. Don't check it off. How about Monday at 3:30 in the afternoon? What's your relationship with me then? How about Thursday night at 7:30? What's your relationship with me then? How about Saturday morning when you jump out of bed or crawl or fall out of bed? What's your relationship with me then? See, it was something for them to do, not someone for them to know. The honest truth is, Jesus wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. Go ahead, Jerry, pop them up. It was something for them to do, not something for them to know. Next one up. See, Jesus wants to be involved in everything, and he wants us to connect with him relationally. Just because you're at church every Sunday, and just because you read your Bible, and just because you say a short prayer every once in a while, does not mean that you are connected to Jesus. Are you hearing me? Just because you come every Sunday, just because you read your Bible, just because you pray, does not mean you're connected to Jesus. The next verse of our passage, Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. They assumed he was with them. We've been doing this for 12 years. Jesus, you're 12 years old. We've been doing this for 12 years. You know the road. You know the order. You know the ritual. You know how we do things faithfully. You should have just jumped right back in line, headed back to Nazareth with us. But if Jesus is first, he can still be lost in the craziness of life. He was first when they left the house. They made sure they had him when they went to the Passover festival. But through all of the things that seemed to pile up and the craziness of the festival, 2 million people, they lost Jesus. But here's the issue. Jesus shouldn't be just first. He should be central. In other words, everything revolves around him. Oh, a new look, okay? Here's the problems a lot of times. We put Jesus on our checklist. After we check him off, we're done. Or in this craziness of life, we try to throw in Jesus every once in a while so he gets a little bit of acknowledgement. So I'm crazy and things are going on and all right, I'll stop for 10 seconds. That's all I've got. Jesus, I'm going to pray. Lord, take care of this issue. On we go. Back to the crazy list. Back to the circle. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus was at the center and everything we did revolved around him? He wants to be right in the middle. Not just of this service. He wants to be in the middle of everything of your life. What's incredible is he cares about the little things. The things that you don't think that he cares about, that he's not too concerned about, he's got a whole lot more to take care of than my little... That's not the way God sees it. He doesn't go, oh, now this is important, but no, that's not too important. I won't worry about that. I'll worry about this. No. He wants to be involved in every little aspect of your life. Not of church. Not of just reading the Bible, not of worshiping, not of prayer. He wants to be central. He wants to be the focus always of every single day. He just doesn't want to be at the top of the list. He wants to be in the entire list. Wow. So, I go to work next week. I'm going to bring Jesus with me. I go shopping like I did yesterday. I bring Jesus with me. To the store? To Walmart? Yes. You know what I do in Walmart? Which, not, I don't tell too many people this, so that you're privileged right here. I'm deaf in this ear. Have been since I don't know when. I don't ever remember hearing out of this ear. My mom and dad says about 4 or 5, I lost hearing in this ear. So if you say something to me sometimes and you're on this side, I don't hear that very well. And I have a hard time if someone says, Willis! I just hear out of one side, so I'm going, well, all right, who's talking to me? Where is it coming from? But I have headphones that I wear at the house to listen to music, but I've got this one little thing that I can put in my ear. It's a Bluetooth ear piece that I can talk, not have to hold my phone up to my ear. I'll put that in my ear when I go to Walmart and do the shopping, and I'll play Christian music. And so I'm walking down Walmart. I'm just singing away. I'm just doing a little Jeremy Camp action going on. Everything's just great. I'm hearing music. And people will be, while I'm walking, will say something to me. Well, I can't hear them because I've only got this one ear, and I've got the music blasting, Christian music blasting in my ear. Hanging out with your friends next week? Bring Jesus along. Meeting a friend for lunch after church today? Bring Jesus along with you. spending the day with your family. Maybe it's a cookout. Maybe it's just going shopping. Maybe it's going wherever. Bring Jesus with you. Answering some emails, hitting that delete button. Bring Jesus with you. But we have to remind ourselves of this constantly. Jesus has to be at the center. He has to be the focus. Make sure you stay focused because everything revolves around Him. Second thing, make sure that Jesus doesn't become a checklist item. Make sure that Jesus doesn't become a checklist item. I think the hardest part is during the week. So much stuff going on, so many busy things, so many tasks to do, so many lists to take care of, so many things that have to happen during the week. It's very important for us to put Jesus at the center, not just a checklist of every day. I check Him off and I'm done. There's meetings, there's emails, there's visits. It's really hard to keep Him at the center during the week. But I think we can come up with ways to do that. Acts 17, verse 28. Not that we just put Him on a checklist, but in Him we live and move and exist. It all revolves around Him. It's not just Jesus as a checklist. And finally, number three, make sure Jesus is at the center. Think of ways that you can bring Him into your everyday life. He wants to be a part of everything, of every aspect of your life. So, spiritual inspiration. Here's personal application. Let me give you some practical ways to keep Jesus at the center of the day. Okay? Practical ways to keep Jesus at the center of the day. First thing, set your affections on things above, not on earthly things. Set your affection on things above, not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, we're so worked up and we're so got to have the latest, got to have the newest, got to have the best, got to have all of these things. But you know, those things aren't as important as putting Jesus at the center of your life and making Him, making earth, heavenly things more important than earthly things. Do you know all those things are going to go away? You know you can't take a single thing with you? What is going to be the most important thing? Your relationship that you have with Jesus. The way that you put Him in the center of your life each and every single day. Remember, God, I've got my checklist. Look at what I did. Look at what I didn't do. Look at the things that it's not important to me. You never knew me. He's going to have to stay away from me. So set your affection on things above, not on things on earthly things. Secondly, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That ought to keep you busy for a while right there. Clothe yourself. It's not saying just bring it along with you. It's not saying throw it in the trunk of the car and when you get there, remember that it's in the trunk of the car. It's not saying come on Sunday with your Bible and on Sunday after church, throw it back on the dash and pick it up next Sunday morning when you walk into the service. It's saying, put it on. Sorry about that. Put it on. Clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. How do I know that's part? Because it's in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put it on. Make it something not that you bring with you or not that you know that's in the back of the car or in your bag that you carry or in your suitcase when you leave. Put it on. Clothe yourself. I like this slide. Let's jump up a couple, Jerry. Look at this. I found this online the other day. I think it's great. To love thy neighbor. Love thy homeless neighbor. thy Muslim neighbor, thy black neighbor, thy gay neighbor, thy white neighbor, thy Jewish, thy Christian, thy atheist, thy racist, thy addicted neighbor, love them all. Yeah, but there's some people on there that I don't agree with. God didn't say agree with the people that only love the people that you agree with. He said love thy neighbor. All of that, and the list could go on and on. We've got a problem in this world today, and it's not just those that are unsaved, it's even those that have trusted Christ. We think that if you don't believe just as I do, I can't have respect for you. And that's totally unreal. It's totally untruthful. And that if you don't agree with me, then I don't like you and I hate you. And I don't want to have anything to do with you. But nowhere do we find that in Scripture. All he says, love your neighbor. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Just because people don't agree or people don't believe just like you do doesn't mean that you can't love them. We need to start loving people. We need to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And the last thing, come near to God and He will come near to you. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. How do I keep Him at the center of my life each and every single day? I've got to realize that I've got to set my affections on things above, not on things of this earth. All this stuff is going to either burn up, rust up, die, or go away. Set my affections on things above. What is going to last for an eternity? I've got to clothe myself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A little short story and I'm done. I was at Home Depot picking up a few little supplies. And as I came out, I happened to look up the road, up the parking lot a little bit, and there was this guy. I kind of could tell that he was military, I think just by his haircut, stuff like that. I don't know if he had a shirt on, et cetera, or not, but I just kind of got this idea that he was military. He had a box about this tall and about this wide, and it was a hot water heater. And he had a little car that barely two people could fit into. And he had the hatchback up, and I'd seen him walk. I'd kind of watched when I was walking up. He had the back seat pushed down, and he was going to try to fit that hot water heater in the back of his little car there, his little hatchback car. So first of all, I thought, well, I'm going to go help him because that thing weighed. I even had a thing on it said 125 pounds. I thought, man, he probably could have lifted it, but I thought, I'll help him. So I went up, and we picked up the hot water heater, and we tried to tilt it up, which up here it said this end up, so it was supposed to be this way, but he said, well, let's go ahead, and so we tried to get in, and I said, I don't think it's going to fit, man. He said, no, I think I'm going to try to go around and put it through the back seat and put it through the other side. I said, well, that box is longer than your car, man. Yeah, I know. He said, well, I guess I'll just have to take it back inside and let Home Depot deliver it to me. I said, well, they're probably going to charge you to deliver it. So right then I thought, all right, a little kindness, Willis. I said, well, I got a truck right here. I said, why don't we load that thing in my truck? I said, where do you live? I thought, well, hopefully he doesn't live in Alabaster or something, you know. Where do you live? Because we were in Prattville. And he said, well, I just live over behind the high school. And I said, close to my house. I said, let's load it up. I'll take it to your house for you. Well, you don't mind? I said, no. I said, Home Depot wouldn't deliver it for a couple days. And he said, yeah, I just took a day off off work so I could get this thing loaded and put it in the house. He said, I just bought a house. We just moved here from Florida. So we loaded it into my truck. I'll follow you to your house. We got to his house, and we unloaded it. And he reached in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and he said, here, thanks. I said, not at all, man. I said, just wanted to help you out. Just wanted to show you a little kindness today. Hope that you get that installed and taken care of. I didn't waste hardly any time doing that, folks. I didn't do it for the honor, for the glory, for anything, for the money or anything. Just wanted to clothe myself with a little kindness. Now, I don't expect you to go to Home Depot and help somebody with their hot water heater today, okay? But there are simple ways that you can be kind to people today and it not cost you anything. And I tell you, when you're a blessing to someone else, you in turn also receive a blessing. I don't know how sometimes you do. Sometimes you just drive away and think, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to bless somebody today and to serve somebody today and to be a help to somebody today. Keep Jesus at the center, okay? I kind of gone a little long. I'm getting excited about this little thing. Let me wrap it up. Jesus wants to be a part of everything, okay? Don't put him on a checklist. Don't make it something that you do just because you have to do it and just because it's something that you always do. Figure out and understand what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. To have an encounter with him, with someone that can change your life in ways that you never could by yourself. Make Jesus the center. Let everything revolve around him. God, I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that there may be someone here today that just needs to have a fresh relationship with you, a fresh encounter. Or maybe, Lord, there could be someone here today that said, I've never had that relationship. I've never had that association, that connection. I've never given my life to him and asked him to be a part of my life. And so if there's that one here today or more, that just need to have a refresh of a relationship with you or need to take you and put you right back in the center of their life or need to, for the first time, make you a part of their life, I pray that they'll do that today. And Lord, thank you that we can come to you with every need and every hurt and every desire and knowing that you can meet that need. Help us to keep you at the center today. Bless us as we sing today. We pray this all in your name.